Be patient towards all that is unsolved in your heart and try to love the questions themselves, like locked rooms and like books that are written in a very foreign tongue. Do not now seek the answers which cannot be given, because you would not be able to live them. And the point is to live everything. Live the questions now. Perhaps you will find them gradually without noticing and live along some distant day into the answer. And that was said by Raina Maria Rilke. Welcome to Surviving the Matrix, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Maxwell Egan. It's a pleasure to be with you once again, and I'll be your host for the next hour. And here we are, folks. It's the end of 2012, and this will be my final broadcast for the year. The next time you hear from me, it will be 2013. And so, folks, questions. Living the questions and living along the questions into the answers. And that's the way it happens if you simply allow things to flow. You'll find that you do live into the answers to the questions that you've always had in your life. And the real point is the questions to begin with. It's your ability to question reality, and it's the existence of the questions themselves. And it's important to clearly understand this, folks, that sometimes the answer is not as important as the question. The fact that the question exists and that you are willing to pose the question, that's the most important part. The fact that the question exists. And personally, folks, I think it's good to question everything. I really do. I think that you really need to use a lot of discernment when looking at the world today, when looking at the articles we see on the news, when looking at our society, when looking at anything, really. We live in an age of such incredible deception that you really do have to use a lot of discernment. In fact, I would suggest that you believe probably none of what you hear and half of what you see until you've had the opportunity to investigate it for yourself. And certainly I would suggest that people pay special attention to all of the media hype and all of the political manoeuvring that is surrounding the recent shooting event we saw in Connecticut. Because there's some very, very strange and very disturbing things about that case. And there's also some very disturbing things in the trends that I've seen leading up to that case, not only in the mainstream media and all the media hype that we've seen leading up to this, but most especially in the alternate media. And we've seen events that I've been wondering why these events have been going on for some time, but now the timing of events in the alternate media have kind of led up to this very nicely as well. In fact, the timing could not be more suggestive of foreknowledge of this event and necessary steps that would have been taken in its pre-planning stages. And I might touch on that a little bit later on in the show, because I've seen a build-up to this event in the alternate media, and I've seen a mechanism that's been put in place to potentially discredit anybody who really starts looking into this case and really starts questioning this case. It's also been very interesting to see the media hype around this case, saying that anybody who publishes any strange conspiracy theories about the case may be breaking the law. And that's extremely suggestive, folks. I mean, they simply don't want people publishing the truth about it. They don't want people looking into it. And they're suggesting that if you do, we might put you in jail. I mean, you don't see this every day. And that in itself suggests that there is something extremely fishy about this entire thing. Otherwise, they wouldn't have made such an announcement. And they wouldn't be so scared of people actually looking into things and publishing information about it. And of course, there's the obvious political posturing surrounding the case and the blatant attack against the American Second Amendment. There was also Obama's incredibly wooden performance where he was feigning pain and sorrow and pretending to wipe tears from his eyes that really got me. I mean, I've never seen a more cold and callous and calculated speech, and even the pause and the wiping of the imaginary tear. I mean, I've honestly never seen a colder portrayal of emotion. than what I witnessed in Obama's speech that day. And in fact, I think this event in Connecticut is indeed an extremely pivotal event, and I believe it is a plan that has been long in the making. I really do. I think this is going to lead to a huge amount of media hype. Well, after all, it already has. We've even seen celebrities doing extended commercials asking for a ban on gun ownership. So it's going to cause a continued amount of media hype and possibly will mark the beginning of conflict within the borders of the United States, because this event has all the hallmarks of being a contrived and utterly staged event that has been designed specifically to attack the United States Second Amendment rights. I think that's what it's all been about, folks. I really do. I think that this event is the reason we saw things such as the massive purchase of hollow points by Homeland Security quite recently. I think this is why we've seen events such as Waco and the Oklahoma bombing, the vilification of the militia movements throughout the United States, and the random shootings and the school shootings and the Batman shooting. I think it's all been leading to this one event. And I think that this event is the play for all the guns that all the other ones have been necessary to have. I think it's all been leading to this moment, and they are going to justify this attack against the American Second Amendment by all the events that have led up to it. But this one is the ultimate clincher. And as I said earlier, there are so many things wrong with this event that it becomes obvious that that's what it's been staged to do. Because there really is, folks, there's a lot about it that doesn't make any sense at all. And indeed, one may even question whether they are not just wagging the dog. Especially disturbing was the interview that I saw with a man who is apparently the father of one of the victims, who called himself Robbie Parker. I'm sure many of the people listening to this show have seen the interview and have seen the very unusual way this man was acting, the way he was smiling before the interview and the way he asked, "Should I just read from the cue card?" Which is, of course, not what you would do if your child had been murdered the day before. And there is every indication that Robbie Parker is indeed an actor. And this, of course, brings the entire shooting event into question, whether it really happened or whether they are simply, as I mentioned before, wagging the dog. Because there are a lot of news stories that are fake, folks. They do use actors for a lot of news stories. I know because I've worked in media myself when I was younger, and I also worked building film sets for a long time. I know how easy it is to fake things that you see on television. So the question is, did all these children actually die? Or did they simply take Adam Lanza in there and maybe shoot him and a couple of other people and leave them lying around for the children to see? Because, of course, we had children reporting that they saw a bit of blood and they saw a couple of bodies. We had reports of children saying they saw a man handcuffed outside the building. And, of course, we saw helicopter footage of a man that was lying prone in the forest, surrounded by police as well, indicating that there were at least three people involved. So it's almost certain that someone did die on the scene. But was it the children, as we've been told? Because we really don't have anything to go on except what we've seen on the television. And as we've previously discussed, the television is simply not a source that can be trusted. Television is an extremely useful tool for swaying public opinion. Indeed, that is its main purpose, folks. It feeds people disinformation and it controls public opinion. And that's what it does. It gives people a false view of reality. I mean, all it has to do to create a trend is to create a false trend and tell people that that's the way things are trending and all the people will follow, even if the trend didn't exist previously. That's just what people do. They have very clever and very select people come on and offer opinions to the public, but really the opinions are what is used to teach the public what to think, but most certainly not to teach them how to think. But it's time that the people actually did some thinking and not just believe what their television is telling them, but actually did the thinking for themselves. And it's very important that people wake up to what's going on here, and it's very, very important that the American people stand up for their Second Amendment rights, because the American war machine is what's being used by the controlling system to go out and impose a central banking system, a control grid, upon the rest of the world. And the only people who can stop that are the American people. And that's why it's so important to disarm the American people at this time. Because once you've disarmed the American people and then you set up a situation where basically the only jobs in the country are working in the hospitality industry or working in the military, then you have your war machine. And there's not much protesting anybody can do about it because they don't have any guns with which to do so. And that's why the American people have got guns. It was interesting rhetoric from Obama, I think I mentioned on last week's show, when he said that he respects that people want to hunt and that that's why the American people have guns. But it needs to be made very clear that that is not why the American people have guns. The American people have guns in order to protect themselves against tyranny in government, so that if tyranny does grab a hold of their country, then they have the means to regain control of their country and to restore the republic. And that's what the Second Amendment is for. Should the American people lose the Second Amendment, then America will be completely gone. They lose complete control of their country, and the global war machine is free to run rampant across the globe and impose the system of control that we've all been speaking out against for so long. And that's what this event is being designed to do, folks. In fact, I would say that this is the most pivotal event we've seen staged within the borders of the United States since the 9/11 attacks. And though this is, of course, on a much smaller scale, it has the potential to do to the American people what America has done to countries such as Iraq and Afghanistan. And if the American people are disarmed, I think within a very short time, America will look much like Palestine. And so that's the current state of affairs, folks. That's the situation that we've got. And now, more than ever, it's time for the people of the United States to stand up and to reclaim their country and to stand up for their rights. It's extremely important that they do this because the United States of America is teetering on the brink of being completely lost. And if we lose America completely, then we may well have lost the world. Obama, I tell you folks, he's really been the worst thing that ever happened to the United States. This man has done so much damage to the US Constitution and so much damage to American society that it is absolutely staggering. And this seems to be his pièce de résistance, the removal of weapons from the American people. If he can get away with this, then he will go down as the most power-abusing and tyrannical president in U.S. history. And the man who did more damage to the United States and instigated more steps towards globalism than all of his predecessors combined. And the Connecticut shooting event really seems to have been long planned, folks. I mean, within days, we've had so much rhetoric from the media about gun control. We've had slick commercial productions featuring well-known actors who are calling for not only gun control, but a ban on guns. And this has all happened like clockwork within days of the shooting occurring. So it has been long planned. And a few years ago, folks, I released a film called The Big Picture in 2008. And when I looked at the December 21st, 2012 date, I said in that film that many people are expecting the world to change on that date. And I said that if we don't pay attention, it will be a time of change, but it won't be the change that we're expecting. It will be the time when the New World Order begins in earnest. And that is exactly what we are seeing with this attack against the US Second Amendment that's been instigated by the Obama regime. It's happening like clockwork, folks. You see, the December 2012 date represents a tipping point. It represents the point where we go either of two directions, and the choice as to which direction we go in lies with the people. It always has. And so now it is up to the people to make the decision whether they wish to turn in their means of defense and allow themselves to be subjected to a tyrannical government, or whether they decide it is time to restore the republic. And that's the choice they've got, and nobody else can make that choice. And really, in many ways, the fate of the world hangs upon the decision that is now made by the people of the United States of America. And that may sound like I'm being a little overdramatic or reading a little bit too much into this, folks, but I'm not, because it's important for people to understand what America is. America is the global muscle. America is the war machine that is run by the Crown Corporation. And the only way that war machine can be stopped is by the people of the United States. And they're only able to do that if they have the deterrent that they currently have of being armed. Because that's what it is. It's like a mutually assured destruction situation between them and government. I spoke about this last week. But at the moment, there are so many arms in the United States that it would not be possible to impose a real dictatorship because of the weapons the people have and their ability to defend themselves against it. But should they lose their weapons, then they lose the ability to be able to rein their government in. Because America is a militarized culture, it's a gun culture, and the people won't even be able to use anything such as trust, like I've been promoting, to be able to bring the government in, because it's a gun culture, and the government will simply have too many guns for them to even care about trust. And it's only the fact that the people have weapons as well that would give the American people the ability to be able to affect change in their country in that situation. It's different in other countries, but that's the way it is in the United States. And so I'm not exaggerating when I say that the fate of the world really does hang in the balance, and the decision of which way we go does lie in the hands of the American people. This attack against the Second Amendment rights of the people of the United States is a very, very pivotal event, folks, and it's an event that has global ramifications. Sure, if they do hand in their guns and they allow themselves to be ruled by an iron fist, it doesn't mean we've lost. It just simply means it's going to be a lot harder. And it means that there is no way the American war machine can ever be brought down from within its borders. So it does represent a very, very significant time, and it does put the world in an extreme state of danger. And there are people here in Australia and people in England and people in Europe who may not be able to understand this, but it's true. The only thing that is holding the American war machine back from your borders and back from all borders is the fact that the American people have weapons. And I've even heard some American people saying, well, when they gave us Second Amendment rights, they didn't understand, they didn't realize that we would have military assault weapons that are in the hands of everyday people, because these weapons didn't exist at the time. So it's ridiculous that people should have these military assault weapons. And what I say, folks, is that if the government has military assault weapons, then the people need military assault weapons, because that's what the Second Amendment is for. It's to defend yourself against government. And the people should always be armed with the same weapons, or better weapons, than the government has. Because that is the only way they are able to defend themselves against government, because that is what the Second Amendment is for. It has nothing to do with hunting. It's the last line of defense against tyranny. That is what it is for. And should the government ever decide to use military assault weapons against the people, then it is important that the people also have the means to defend themselves against such attack. And that's what's important to know. And so it's going to be very interesting to see how this plays out. It's going to be very interesting to see whether the American people come into their own and stand up and defend themselves against this type of tyranny. But you can see what's going to happen, folks. You'll have militias attempt to stand up and do this, and then they'll be vilified by the United States. And they'll say, oh, look, we've got all these domestic terrorist cells. And domestic terrorist cells will be anybody who attempts to defend themselves against the government terrorism and tyranny that's being inflicted upon the people. That's what they always do, folks. They inflict a system upon people, and then if you defend yourself against it, you're called a terrorist. This is what's happening in Palestine. Israel is stealing all the land, and anybody who stands up against it and attempts to defend themselves against the terrorism, tyranny, and land theft that is inflicted upon them is called a terrorist. This is the way they do it. It's reverse psychology, and it's done very easily through control of the media. And as the American media is so very, very controlled, it's going to be extremely easy for them to spin the story vilify the militias and paint these people as a threat to society and paint Obama as the one who's trying to keep people safe, when really nothing could be further from the truth. Obama is a brutal, heartless, ruthless tyrant, and he is doing everything he can to destroy the United States of America. But again, it's important to understand, folks, that Obama is simply a puppet. He has no regard for the United States. He's simply doing what he's told, and he is doing so in order to bring down the United States. And this has been long planned, folks. It's been part of the agenda for a very long time. I've spoken about this to you for years. It's very important that the United States be brought to its knees, and that's exactly what Obama is doing. And the same goes for all the people who are calling for a ban on guns and are calling for an abolishment of the Second Amendment. They're doing so because they wish to bring down the United States. They're either part of the agenda, or perhaps they simply don't like their country anymore. Or perhaps they do like it. Perhaps there's some people who do like it, but they're just so brainwashed and so unable to think clearly that they simply go along with whatever rhetoric the government provides for them. There are, of course, a great many people that are like that. But we're heading for some very, very challenging times, folks. It's important for those people out there who listen to this show to realize that now is a time of need, and that now the people around you need your support more than ever before. And it's very, very important that we have this communal strength and we have this power of community, that we have created these ties within our community. I hope you have, because I've been talking to you now for nearly 5 years on this radio show, and I've been stressing ever since day one the importance of building strength and building ties within your community, so that in situations such as the one we are now facing, you have that communal spirit around you and you have that strength of those around you who are willing to stand with you. Because now is the time. Now is the time the American people are being called on to come into their own. Your country is under threat. Your country is being undermined by domestic terrorists that have taken control of your administration system. This is the time that your Declaration of Independence warned you about. The Declaration of Independence warned the American people that these times would come, and it stated that when such times came, it is the duty of the American people to stand up and to restore the Republic. And this is that time. And it has to be done now while it can still be done peacefully. Because should that moment pass, well, in the words of John F. Kennedy, when peaceful revolution becomes impossible, then violent revolution becomes inevitable. And that is what we do not want. Because that is what they want. And that is what they will use to lock down society. But if people stand up now, violent revolution can still be avoided. It's a very difficult thing for some people to do, but there comes a time in life when one simply has to face facts. And the fact is that the United States of America has been undermined from within. And it is now time for the people to take the matter in hand. And this really cannot be overstated, folks. In fact, I will say it again, and let me try to make it perfectly clear. Your country is being undermined by domestic terrorists, and it is now time for the people of America to do their duty and to stand up and to restore the Republic. It is your right to do so, and it is not only your right, but it is your duty to do so. And should the people of the United States fail in this task, then their country will be lost. It's always been said, folks, that if America is brought down, it will not be from an army at the gate. It will be brought down from within. And that is exactly what is happening. And the sad part is, folks, that if the United States of America is brought down from within and it is allowed to fall, then it is very doubtful that humankind will ever be in a position to be able to restore it. And that will bring about a very, very sad situation. Because the people of the United States are the only people who have the means to stop the American war machine. And it's important that they pay attention. This really is a very, very delicate time, folks, and it really is a pivotal moment in history. We could still go either way at this point, and the decision as to which way we go lies with the people of the United States. It'll be interesting to see which senators actually go along with this. It'll be interesting to see which senators decide it's time to stand up and restore the republic, and it will be interesting to see which ones just succumb to fear and go down the tube of corruption with everybody else. Although I think a lot of the opposition that we see from American senators is very contrived anyway. It's all theater, folks. I mean, they know what they want to do anyway, and that's where they're going. So, of course, they'll have token senators who stand up and pretend to be against it, but it's really just theater for the masses, folks. There's not going to be any salvation come from government. It's only going to come from a groundswell of people. So I don't really place too much faith in any sort of salvation coming from political quarters, and I think that it's time for the people to act. And you do have to act, folks. No one else is going to do it for you. It has to be done by the people. Because enough truly is enough. That's what the TV commercials have been saying, where they've been asking for a ban on guns, that enough is enough. And I would say that now it has come to the point where the government is about to steal the weapons from the people, then it is time for the people to also say that enough is enough. And I'm reminded of the immortal words of Mario Savio, who said that there comes a time when the operations of the machine become so odious, make you so sick at heart, that you can't take part, you can't even passively take part, and you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop, and you've got to indicate to the people who run it, to the people who own it, that unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all. And that time is now, my friends. It is so important that the American people stand up and reclaim their power and restore their republic, because if they don't, then the United States of America will be lost. And sure, we can point the finger at Obama and say what a bad man he's been and how terrible the government has been that they've done this, and the Department of Homeland Security and all the problems that the American people are faced with. But ultimately, the real blame lies with the American people. And it's a sad thing to say, but that's where the blame really lies, folks. It lies with the people of the United States. Because the American people have their Constitution and their Bill of Rights. They have the Declaration of Independence. And should they choose to use those documents, I mean, the Declaration of Independence is encased in bulletproof glass and kept in a museum on display for all to see because it is the foundation stone of the United States. People go and see it and they honor this document, but they don't truly see the power that it has and they don't stand by it. But there are some truly wonderful words in the Declaration of Independence, folks. There really are. And it says in the U.S. Declaration of Independence very, very clearly, right there in the second paragraph, when a long train of abuses and usurpations pursuing invariably the same object evidences a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty to throw off such government and to provide new guards for their future security. My friends, that time is now. And I'll speak to you again in a few minutes. Thanks for listening. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Now, folks, looking at the whole situation that we're facing in America with the loss of the Second Amendment and the gun paranoia that has been presented to not only the American people, but also to the people of the world, what we have to understand here is that the problem is not that of too many guns. The problem is that of not enough guns. You see, we don't need less guns, folks. We need more guns, because if everybody had a gun, if every teacher in the school had a gun in their desk, there would be no shooter. I mean, I think the whole single gunman, solitary shooter thing has all been contrived anyway. so it's probably irrelevant. But even, let's hypothetically say there was a single shooter, well, if there was someone who had a tendency to do that, but it was common knowledge in America that every school teacher kept a gun in their desk, then I would suggest that he wouldn't have had the idea in the first place. And I notice how the story has changed so much in the shooting as well. Now we're hearing that the kids were all shot with automatic weapons. We're saying that children have between 3 and 11 bullets in them. So obviously this is being used to vilify assault weapons. Some guy's gone in and he shot up a classroom of first and second graders with semi-automatic weapons or automatic weapons, and so we need to outlaw these weapons. That's what it's about, folks. It's about taking anything that can be used to defend yourself against a military incursion within your country away from you. That's what it's about. I mean, I'll probably let you keep your handguns for a little while, and then we'll have a few more handgun deaths, and we'll see that there's a need to ban those as well. That's the way they do it. But at the moment, they're trying to get the automatic and semi-automatic weapons out of the hands of the people, because that's the only way that people can defend themselves against government. And you could really look at it in such a way that what we're seeing is a hostile takeover of the rights of the American people. I mean, not that their rights hadn't been pretty well taken over before, but now we are seeing the American people being removed of their ability to defend themselves against government in any way. And look, over the last few years, we've seen the further militarization of America. I mean, it's been an ongoing thing. Since 9/11, we've seen the Department of Homeland Security, we've seen TSA, we've seen American police officers being given military-grade equipment, sound cannons, all sorts of stuff, drone aircraft flying around in the sky, and now they want to take the guns away from the people. So if you can't see what's going on, I mean, I don't know who you must be, I don't know what you must be educated in, but if you're an American citizen and you cannot see what is going on in your country, well, then I don't know. All I can put it down to would be the amount of fluoride or aspartame or toxins or television you must be consuming, because what is happening in America is so obvious. And what it's turning into is a high-tech version of Nazi Germany. And this is no joke, my friends. This is exactly what's happening. And this is a model that will be used for the rest of the world. I've said so many times that what we're going to see is a complete split of culture. We're going to see the complete elimination of the middle class, and we're going to see the very rich and the very poor. We're going to see a global model of the Israeli-Palestinian situation, whereby the whole world and all the dispossessed people of the world become virtually a global Palestine. And that's what we're heading towards, folks. And that's what this is all about. That's exactly what this shooting is about. And as I said earlier, there are so many things wrong with this shooting. The story has changed so many times. And things such as the Robbie Parker news report that I was talking about in part one of the show, when I talked about the man who came on and claimed to be one of the fathers of the victims. And he was obviously smiling and joking around before the interview. And then you could see him actually putting himself in character, doing some deep breathing before the camera was turned on, and then he gave him a nod when he was ready to go. And he was quite emotional on the camera. So this man is obviously an actor. So as I said before, this brings the entire event into question. Now, I'm not saying that it didn't happen and it was all actors and that no kids were killed. I mean, honestly, I don't know. I live in Australia. The only information I can get is from the newspapers, is from the television, is from people I may know on the ground in the area. And this is the only place that I can get information from regarding this event. So if I claim to know that these people are all actors or these people aren't all actors or whatever, I mean, I don't know. Nobody who wasn't there can really know that. And so I'm not saying that. But what I am suggesting is that this man, Robbie Parker, was most certainly an actor. And as I said earlier, there are a lot of news stories that are presented to you by actors. But of course, it's very difficult to point this out to people on the street because there's a lot that's been done to undermine this perspective. You know, if you really start pointing out that people are actors, you'll find that there is a lot of counterintelligence on the internet, which will tell you that everybody is actors. It's all actors. The whole thing is actors. Every global leader is all actors. In fact, it's all the same people. They all come from the same family. See, this is what counterintelligence does, folks. It gets snippets of truth, and then it embellishes it to the point where it's easily disprovable, and it becomes completely unbelievable. There's people even suggesting, one person in particular, who is suggesting that the Australian Prime Minister, Julia Gillard, is actually an actor and that the role is being played by Jodie Foster. This is why Jodie Foster hasn't released any movies lately. Of course, Jodie Foster's actually working on movies at the moment, which are due to release this year, I think. So we're to assume that this woman flies back and forth from LA, the 16-hour either-way flight, a couple of times a week, in order to put on a suit and make up and ear extensions and pretend that she is the Australian Prime Minister. See, so this is what is being told to people. So when you start pointing out to people that there are news stories that are portrayed by actors and that this man who played the role of Robbie Parker is actually an actor, people may go and search this on the internet, and then they're going to find these sites that tell them that everybody's an actor. And, of course, it all becomes unbelievable, and so they throw the real information out with all the disinformation that surrounds it. And we've seen a real rise in this type of activity on the internet in the last year, for example. We've seen a lot of reports of people coming out saying that everybody is all actors. And I believe this is counterintelligence that's been put in place specifically designed to cover up events such as the one we just saw in Connecticut. Like I said, I'm not saying that all the victims in Connecticut were faked, that it was simply wagging the dog and that they're all actors, because I'm not in a position to know. I'm not in a position to make that call. But what I am saying is that the man who played the role of Robbie Parker is almost certainly an actor, and so that must bring the entire event into question. And when you see the media hype that has been created around this event, and that must have been pre-planned because there's been so much of it, we have literally seen the media go into overdrive to remove the guns from the American people. And this has happened hot on the heels of this event, indicating that this has been long planned and it is being very well orchestrated. And I believe the disinformation campaign and the counterintelligence campaign that I've seen conducted on the internet in the last year, claiming that everybody is actors, has been done specifically to create an air of ridicule around anybody who is suggesting that there may have been actors involved in this event. That's how counterintelligence works, folks. It's very important to understand that. The counterintelligence does not just involve the circulation of disinformation and false information. What it usually does is take real information and then surround it with disinformation and embellish it to the point where it becomes non-believable and easily disprovable. That's how counterintelligence works. You can put out false leads and red herrings and all this sort of stuff. Sure, they do that as well. But they also doctor true information and embellish it to the point where people tend to throw the baby out with the bathwater. And that is actually the best form of counterintelligence, because it places an air of ridicule surrounding information which is actually quite truthful at its core. So you've got to be very careful when looking at this sort of stuff, and you've got to use a lot of discernment when looking at information that's provided for you, folks. There are certainly a lot of fake news stories, and there is certainly a lot of acting that goes on in the higher reaches of our entire system. But you've got to be careful what you buy into, and use your own discernment and follow your own intuition. And remember, if someone is leading you down rabbit holes and providing you with a interesting, juicy spy novel that they update every week or two, and they're not providing you with any immediate solutions to the problems that we face, then you're probably just being distracted. So, as I said, folks, it's very important to pay attention and to use your discernment when adopting anybody else's idea of reality on as your own, because that's essentially what people often do. So, yeah, just pay attention, my friends, because there really is a huge campaign out there to distract and to fool and to lead people down false rabbit holes and false paths of false hope. And there is so many things that are put in place when really the answers lie within yourself. The answers lie in you knowing who you are, knowing the power that you have, and knowing that that power exists within everybody around you, and connecting with these people so that we have a strong, vibrant community that is willing to take responsibility for itself. That's where all the answers lie. And that's the message that I've been pushing for so long. And even with the situation that we're facing now with the guns, folks, the American people can still see that this is a breach of trust. The president swears to uphold the Constitution. The government is supposed to uphold the ethics and the morals and the standards and the attitude and the concept that is the United States. It's supposed to hold these things dear and to protect these things. And the Second Amendment was given to the American people precisely as a means of allowing this to occur. And the American people have to understand that any attempt to subvert the Declaration of Independence, the Bill of Rights, or the Constitution of the United States is treason, and that any president or politician that seeks to do so is clearly in breach of the trust that's been granted to him by the American people. So it can still be dealt with by looking at it from a perspective of trust. And that's the only way it can be peacefully dealt with. And when you present it in this way, you will even find that you've got a lot of the police and lawyers and the military on your side. They'll be on the side of the people because everybody can see the sense of this. And if they're not on the side of the people, then quite possibly they're a psychopath who is running an agenda of their own or is part of the overall agenda. And, well, that's just what you're going to have to deal with. There will be people who will be opposed to it, of course, because there are many people who are part of the agenda. But what you will find at the same time is that there are a lot of good people there in the police force and in the military who are quite ready to stand by the people of the United States, but they need the means to do so because many of them are locked in their left brain. So they need the means. They need to have someone explain to them why it is their duty to stand by the people of the United States. And the reason it is their duty is because, as I stated, that if any politician attempts to subvert the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, or the Bill of Rights of the United States, then these people are in breach of trust, and it is the duty of the people of the United States to take the matter in hand. And in situations of extreme crisis, such as that which the United States is currently facing, it is the duty of the people to restore the Republic. And it's a big ask, folks. I know it's a big ask. The question is it going to happen? I mean, the United States have already put so much in place. The United States government has got so many means of bringing down the hammer on its people now. It's quite frightening in many ways. There's any number of foreign troops, of course, that are always stationed within the United States. These can always be called to stand against the American people if the US troops don't do it. But I believe the US troops will eventually stand for the people, and I believe many of the police will do it as well. And I truly, honestly believe with all my heart that the remedy to the situation lies in an understanding of trust. It still does. There is still hope. There may be some violence, but I still don't see that there needs to be. Because if the people can present the concept of trust to enough of their community and to enough of the politicians and to enough of the police, I mean, go to these public meetings. There's got to be public rallies. I mean, you're going to see a lot of rallies about this, folks. This is the removal of gun rights from the American people. This is a huge thing. So you're going to see so many rallies. But at a lot of these rallies, what you see is people just shouting rhetoric, waving their fist at the government. We demand you don't do this and we demand that, but they don't have any positive action plan except go home and buy ammo and lock your doors. And that is no action plan. What you need to do is to be able to present these people with an action plan. And this plan comes from an understanding of trust, from an understanding of what a trust agreement is, from an understanding of fiduciary trust, from understanding that this is what your Declaration of Independence and Bill of Rights and Constitution demands you do, that what you are doing is protecting the country. The government has to be brought into line. It has to be reined in. You cannot allow it to continue to be as out of control as it is. And if the single shooting thing is even true, if the whole official story about Connecticut is true, well, that is a result of the American society that the government has allowed to be created by placing people in a state of scarcity, by promoting violence the way they do, by doing everything that America has done to subjugate and divide and control its society, by brainwashing people with television, by giving people a false perception of reality. All of it is a result of government corruption, every single one of them. I mean, any corporate crime that's carried out and that anybody gets away with anywhere in the world, in any country, is a result of government corruption, folks, because it is legislation enacted by governments which allow the corporate rape of the planet to continue. That's the way it works. And that's on the corporate side of things, but it also works in regard to street crime and the crimes in our society, because all of these crimes exist because of the system that's been set up by government. The monetary system, which places people in a state of scarcity, so they need to go and steal and rob from others and exploit the people around them. Prostitution, criminal behavior, greed, abuse of power, all of these things come from a result of a corrupt money supply which is implemented by government. People who would go and perform random shootings such as Adam Lanza, if he is indeed the killer, which I doubt very much, but people who would do this do so because of the result of the society, the education system, and the entire environment of scarcity and fear-based mind control that the government has set up. The government is in breach of trust, folks, and I believe that this is how this problem can be dealt with, because this attack against the American Second Amendment, the fact that the crime even happened to begin with, the fact that the American society has got so out of control, the fact that the media lies to the people, the fact that there's fluoride in the water, the fact that the government has imposed this monetary system which has created so much poverty and scarcity, the fact that there are tent cities, the fact that there is the largest jail population on earth in the United States, indicates that the American government is clearly in breach of trust, and this matter has to be dealt with by the American people. You see, the government knows the people are waking up to this now, and that is why they've instigated this attack against the American Second Amendment rights. And they've done it right at the right time, folks. They've done it right when everyone was expecting this big moment of change at the 21st of December 2012. And so a lot of people have gone into a state of distraction and depression, and they're not paying attention. And it's also right around Christmas time, so a lot of people are just distracted with Christmas, and they're not paying attention. They've done it at exactly the right moment. They've done it right when all the war posturing with Iran and all the situation in the Middle East is reaching ahead, and they're doing it because they need to remove the guns from the American people, because they need to ramp up this global war effort, and they need to work very hard at dispossessing the people of Earth. And that's what we're seeing, folks, right across the globe. It's happening here through carbon tax. It's happening in Afghanistan and Iraq through war. It's happening in Africa through starvation and marginalization. It's happening in England via austerity measures, and throughout Europe via austerity measures and crashing of certain European economies. And it's happening in America as well, but it cannot happen in earnest, and they will not get the fuel they need to fire the military machine if they do not first remove the guns from the American people. And that's what this whole thing has been about. And that's what a lot of stuff that we've seen in the media, in the films, and most certainly with the counterintelligence that's been splashed across the internet in the last year, that's what we've seen, folks. We've seen a preparation for this event and a preparation for this attack against the US Second Amendment. And I suggest people really do look into this story, folks, and find out how much of it really is faked, because the performance of Robbie Parker really, really is a giveaway. And I just have to wonder what happened. And if you really start looking into this event, you'll find that there are so many things wrong with it, it beggars belief. There's actually a link on my website written by a man called Niall Brady, which is really a very good article, folks. And the article is entitled Sandy Hook Massacre, Official Story Spins Out of Control. It's a very interesting breakdown of the actual event, and I recommend you go and have a read of that article. It is very eye-opening. It does give you a lot of information that you need to have. I did mention on a couple of shows earlier about the LIBOR legal scandal. I did find out that was false information, folks. That was given to me by someone. They just sent me a link while I was actually being interviewed, and I didn't have time to check it. And I actually did 7 interviews that week, and 6 of them were 2-hour interviews. I mean, I didn't even post most of them on the internet, but I was very, very busy and very, very tired. So I think I mentioned it a couple of times because I did 2 shows in one day at one stage. I did one with Mel Fabregas, and I did another one with someone else later that day. I can't remember who offhand, but I think I mentioned it on both shows. And I did so before I had a chance to investigate it, but apparently the original source for the information was Sorcha Fahl. And Sorcha Fahl is, of course, a very well-known CIA disinformation source, so I'd be very wary of any information that comes from Sorcha Fahl, folks. And I'd like to offer my apologies for even mentioning the LIBOR legal case, because as I said, it was a disinformation. I simply didn't have a chance to investigate at the time. All I can say is that I was extremely tired at the time. It was about 8 o'clock in the morning, and I'd had a very big night the night before. I was actually up working quite late, and the information came to me while I was still half asleep. And so that's my excuse, folks, and I'm sticking to it. But hey, I've never claimed to be infallible. We all make mistakes on occasion. But look, I think we're getting pretty close to the end of the show here, folks. So I'm going to have to leave it there for now. And again, folks, if you're living in America, please do stand up for your rights in this matter. And if you are one of the people out there who has been swallowing information about everybody in the world being actors, and David Icke is Richard Branson in a fat suit, and that Julia Gillard is Jodie Foster, and that the whole thing's being run by one family, well, just ask yourself the question, why? Why would this one family go to all this effort to fly everybody all around the world so that they could put on costumes and pretend to be everybody else? I mean, what really would be the point in such an exercise, folks? And I know it's a great spy novel, and it keeps you very well distracted from what's going on around the world and what's going on under your nose, and it prevents you from acting to save your country at a very critical time. But perhaps you could investigate such rabbit holes later and pay attention to what is happening around you. There is a very, very powerful system of control that is in place on this planet, folks, and there are a great number of people who participate in it. There are actually 13 families who sit at the ruling table, and they don't need to fly around the world and put on costumes and create a great spy novel to distract you with. The system of control is already there. What is needed is to recognize the solutions to this system. And the real solution is for people to understand the power that they each individually have, and to simply pay attention to what's going on around them, and pay attention to the people around them, pay attention to their community, pay attention to the wants and needs and the perspective of others, because all of these things are important. Your wants and needs and your life and your quality of life and your validity in the eyes of others is important to you as it is important to those around you. And once we realize this, then positive change will come about by default, simply by stepping into that power and paying attention to what is happening around us. Ultimately, folks, it all comes down to respect. It all comes down to respect and conscience, and as I've often said, real conscience is justice. So let's get that respect and let's get that justice back into the human psyche. And it all begins with asking the questions, folks. You've just got to ask the right questions. But then, of course, you've got to be prepared to live the answers. And that's what I believe mankind is on the verge of achieving. The moment when we actually live our own answers and live our own solutions. So thank you for joining me on the show today, folks. Thank you again to anybody who has ever helped out with the Crow House. If you can ever do so, it's very much needed. I hate asking for donations, but I simply can't help it, folks, because I think we're all facing these austerity measures at the moment, and it's very difficult. I've actually got to move from where I am. I've been here for 3 years, but the place has been sold, so I also have to find some new accommodation. So things are going to be a little bit touch and go for the next month or two for me. but we'll just see how we go, and I'll keep up with the shows as much as I can. But again, thank you for spending this time with me today. I'm completely out of time now, and I will have to leave it there. I'll be speaking to you again next week, which will be 2013. Please take care until then, and have a safe New Year's Eve. I look forward to speaking to you next week in La Cache.